We're talking about new covenant, new life. And before we begin to discuss, teach, or preach about this new covenant, we must look into the reason why a covenant was given to man in the first place. It begins in the origin of man in the presence of God. Now, when I was preparing and I was thinking, Lord, why do you keep bringing me back to Adam when you created man? Why do you keep bringing me? Because really, there was some promises because of what they did, but there wasn't really a great covenant that you're leading us to talk and preach about this month. And the Lord just led me to Genesis chapter 1. So we're going to go there. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Let man have dominion. Mankind have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. This is a problem in our world today. There are more laws there are more laws placed on trees, on dolphins, on frogs, different kinds of species, and yet life of a child has less of a priority. This is what's wrong with our society today. So we can pray. And you could do something about it also when it comes time to voting. But verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves over the earth. We are to rule. That word dominion means to rule. Over animals, it says, it says, be fruitful and multiply, which means fill the earth and subdue or take charge of the earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray, Father God, that you would speak to us. We thank you, God, for allowing this day to come, for allowing us to be here today. Today is the day that you have made, Lord. Lord, I pray that we will choose Christ. I pray that we will choose to rejoice and to be glad in this day. Amen. You may be seated. Now go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. A couple more scriptures that I want to read. Verse 7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Same thing what I was reading in chapter 1. This is God still forming man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Drop down to verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Let me stop there real quick. Where it says that he put man in the garden to tend and to keep it. Keep in mind, nothing died in the Garden of Eden at this time. So there wasn't any pruning. Everything just grew. And just so keep that in mind, because there was no death. So there was no trees to cut down. There were no rose bushes to trim. It was just the Garden of Eden. He was to tend it, to keep it. There was animals there. And the Lord, verse 18, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And if you'll notice, Adam never woke up. All right, to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called, whoa, man, woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife. They shall become one flesh, and they were both naked. And the man and his wife were not ashamed. I just want to reiterate, because I said this before, verse 24 clearly paints the picture of a family. Because it says a man, shall leave his father, who is a man, and mother, who is a woman, and will be joined to his wife, who is a woman, and they shall become one flesh. So it's a great scripture to highlight, underline, and maybe memorize. Verse 25, and they both were naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Why were they not ashamed? Because there was no sin, there was no death, there was nothing that was unrighteousness. There was nothing that was unrighteous in the garden. So therefore, while they were both naked, the man and his wife, again, relating to a man and a woman, were not ashamed. You see, God created man and woman, and he created them in his image. He says, it says that let us create man in our own image. We were made for God, not for ourselves. We were not made to make something out of ourselves, something out of our life. We were not made for that. We were made to glorify God. We were made to live a life that would bring glory and honor to him, not to us. Not to make a name for ourselves, but to live a life that would bring a name to him, that he is righteous, that he is holy, that he is just, that he is forgiving, because he's doing marvelous miracles in my life today. And he's doing that hopefully in your life today as well. So the creation of man, of Adam, the first Adam, we're going to talk about the second Adam in a little bit, was given ability to commune with God. This is why God created man in his own image. God wanted his creation to be with him, to commune with him, to walk in the garden with him, to be in his presence with him. So God gave Adam an ability to name the animals that God created. God gave Adam an ability to be in the presence of God. You and I, we just can't hop into the presence of God. It doesn't happen that way. You can't just come into church and say, I'm going to get into the presence of God. Because you can stand there while we played the songs and while we sang these songs and not enter into this presence. Well, what do you mean? What are you talking about? I can be standing right next to you. My heart, my eyes, my focus is on Jesus and I'm worshiping him. And man, I feel God around. And you could be there cold as ice. And everything that God is speaking and everything that God is saying, like maybe right now, it's happening. Everything that God is wanting me to say, that God told me to say, it's going right over your head. Right over your head. But for some of you, you're hearing it, you're receiving it, you're eating some of it. What God's going to speak to us today, that God wanted, before we could talk about this covenant that God created, that God instituted, that God arranged, we got to see what happened. And the fact that there was a reason for the covenant to be made, because God wanted his people, his creation, to be with him. Now, something happened. But God gave Adam the ability to be in his presence, to have fellowship and commune and to have fellowship and have something in common with God. What did Adam have in common with God? He was created in his image, in God's image. I mean, just think about that. The creator of the sun, the moon, and the stars, of all that is seen and unseen. He wants me to partake of all the things that he has. I almost messed up there. I almost said something. He wants us to partake of all the things that he has. Jesus is our Savior, is he not? And he wants us to be joint heirs with him. So everything the Father's going to give Jesus, Jesus is like, hey, you want some of this? You want some? I want to share it with you. That's a great Savior to know and to have. He wants to share that with us, to know God, to see God, to talk with God, to have fellowship with God. This was God's desire. That's why he created all the things that he created. God's desire for his creation to be in his presence, in his holiness. But something happened that severed this communion. Something happened that severed this relationship. And we all know it was the fall of man. It was sin, right? Sin will have its reward. Let's jump. I know we're in Genesis. Just grab your Bible and just flip it. And let's go to Revelation chapter 20. I'm so glad that sin, I'm glad that we have the victory in Jesus. I'm so glad that sin will have its reward. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. You're not going there, but we're going to Revelation 20. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death. How many of you have a job? Raise your hand. You got a job. You get paid, right? And then when it comes time for payday, you get paid. You get paid for what? For all the work you did. Sin will have its reward. And if sin is in your life, you will be rewarded with death, Romans 6, 23 says. But the gift of God, the gift of God, you ain't got to work for it, just receive it, because it's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through who? through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Revelation 20, verse 10, sin will have its reward. It says, the devil will who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever for all of eternity. Now jump down, drop down to verse 14. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. We just sang this song. Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire also. Sin will have its reward. All of this will happen so that God will have what he had desired from the very beginning in the garden. His creation, to walk with him, to have communion with him, to fellowship with him, to be in his presence, to be in his holiness. Because you just can't jump into his holiness. You just can't jump into his presence. And what God wanted all the way in the garden, he has provided and planned. And even though you took your life into your own hands and did what you wanted to do, God arranged certain people and certain things to happen in your life to bring you back to him. Now you found him as your Lord and Savior, and he's got something and a place where he wants you to be for all of eternity. Guess what? It's not the lake of fire. It's to be in his presence. It's to be with him for all of eternity. So before we could talk about this covenant, we got to see, what did God want to begin with? What did God desire from the very get-go, from the very beginning? What did he desire? He desired for you to be with him. You are his creation, to be with him for all of eternity. And sin messed this up. Adam and Eve messed this up. You know, as you read in Genesis, if you want to read that, the fall of man, Genesis chapter 3, it says that God told Adam what tree you shouldn't eat of. Now, in that scripture, in that passage, it never says that God told Eve. God told Adam. So really, they're both, you know, a bunch of knuckleheads because they both messed up. God told Adam what he was supposed to translate that or share that, you know, very important information with Eve. And Eve should have remembered and should have known because she wasn't supposed to eat from it. But the serpent, you know, tricked her, and the serpent caused her to see, and of course the lust of the eyes and the desire of her flesh, the desire that she had, she wanted it, and so she took it. If there was no fall of man, guess what? There would be no covenant. There would be no need for it. There would be no need for Christ to come to this earth, to live this life, to be crucified, to be raised from the dead. There'd be no need for it. If there was no fall of man, that's what God wanted. And because of the fall of man, God is making the arrangements and he's making the necessary precautions in front of you, in your life, to get you to the place where he wants you to be. Because sin will have its reward. He wants you to have a reward that he has for you. God is making covenant with man to get back to the place where man fell. Now, Jesus, the second Adam, he's the only mediator, method to get us back to where God wants us to be with him. Revelation chapter 21. We're still in Revelation. Just one chapter over. Revelation 21, verse 3. It says, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. I love it when I come home and my kids say, Poppy, you know, and they say hi. I just love it when I come home, you know, and I hear that. Shannon, don't say Poppy, but I love when my kids say that. And so it says, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. Hallelujah. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. How many of you are tired of crying? Tired of hurting? I can't wait for this day. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. No more sorrow. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. Those of you experienced pain, you know, I can only assume how you greatly want this to happen already. But it's going to happen. All these things are gone forever and ever and ever. Verse 5. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. Everyone say, amen. Amen. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. This ain't no lie. This is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I remember Jesus saying that on the cross, it is finished. Now it's being said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life, new life. All who are victorious, victory is mine, will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. This is where God wants us. This is where God wants you. So why are you trying to live and trying to make something out of your life instead of just allowing God to be God in your life and where he is glorified in what you say, he's glorified in what you do, and people see the righteousness of Christ evident in your life? Look, I have some regrets in 2015, but I'm thankful the Lord forgave me out of all of them. 1 John 1:9, I confess my sins. He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. He cleans up my mess, my failures, my mix-ups. And so I'm thankful that I can enter in 2016 not with a bunch of luggage, because I've been forgiven of that. Now I have some desires and aspirations and commitments that I want to make to the Lord. Why? Because I want 2016 to be better than 2015. I want people to see God more in me in 2016 than they did in 2015. Let me tell you, there were times people saw Rick instead of Jesus. I wasn't too happy of that. But I'm thankful that he forgives us and I can go into 2016 with no regrets. Because he's forgiven me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. This is where God wants us. He has made the arrangements, his promises, his covenants, his sacrifices, God work, his good works for us to walk in. If we will choose, if you will choose to accept his love and follow Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 says, so Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle. It's greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With his own blood. Blood, not the blood of goats and cows. How many of you are glad that you don't have to do what the Israelites had to do? Had to go find some animals, had to have a bunch of in the backyard and have to make sure that you have enough of them so that you can make the sacrifices that you need to make every year, or several times throughout the year, making love offerings and wave offerings and sin offerings. You don't have to worry about that. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And this blood spill once and for all for all mankind, so that we don't have to keep doing what the Israelites did. Thank you, Jesus. He entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. All the grace contained in this book is owing to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And unless you consent to him as your Lord, you cannot expect any benefit by him as your Savior. You can't expect to enter into his presence unless you accept him as your Lord and Savior. Unless you accept the free gift that God gives. So real briefly about this covenant. A covenant was given to man and it has faded. And I'm thankful that it has faded, because this new covenant that's given to us, the old discarded, the new never ends. Glory to God. The old covered, the new cleanses and makes new. You know, in the Old Testament, all those Israelites, their sins were just covered. They weren't cleansed. They weren't made white as snow. Today we can be made white as snow. Thank you, Jesus. The old, there was a yearly atonement. The new, as I mentioned earlier, once and for all an atonement was made. The old was a shadow. The new, we find a Savior. The old brought death. The new, everlasting life. The old covenant is gone. Out with the old, in with the new. God's desire is for you to know him and to live a life with an expectancy to get there where he wants you to be.